Hello, Peter Squire here, Winnipeg Regional Real Estate Board's Vice President, External Relations and Market Intelligence. I'm your host of this special podcast series of The Voice, where we interview 2022 mayoral candidates to hear what they have to say on issues important to the real estate industry. The Winnipeg Regional Real Estate Board serves over 2,400 members in and around the Winnipeg metropolitan region who, in 2021, transacted over $6.5 billion in residential real estate through our MLS cooperative selling system, and significant amounts of commercial real estate development, sales, and leasing through our CPIX commercial real estate system. We believe that real estate is amongst the most important facets of the economy, servicing diverse business sector locations and housing as the anchor to where we live, work, play, and invest in. Welcome, Don Woodstock. Thank you for joining us on The Voice today. Let's get started. If elected as mayor, what strategies will you implement to reverse the trend we are seeing where more people are leaving our city to go to other provinces than coming here?
Thanks for having me, Peter. As a businessman, an out-of-the-box thinker, I believe that Winnipeg has all the infrastructure to create a vibrant and attractive city. What's missing is how we manage our resources. Case in point, there's a time gone when people would have to wait to join Winnipeg Transit, and it was highly sought after job and a secured one. Within 15 years, it has become unattractive and people are leaving in droves. Why? The resources are not managed properly to attract people because of bad politics. We spend money on diesel instead of electric buses. Hundreds of millions of dollars on diesel instead of hundreds of millions of dollars on electric. We have crime capital as our second name instead rather than friendly Manitoba. We have the forks being classified in the international community as the knives. We must get back to our core value and help keep jobs and housing security as number one goal to attract and keep people here. Basic needs, food, shelter, saving. Housing security starts with affordable housing and combined neighborhood security. When I become mayor, we are going to have a push for affordable housing, job security, and because we're in the center of Canada and we haven't yet fully embraced this. For large corporation, we need to find them that employ thousands of people here. My team will be deliberately seeking corporation that employs 500 people or more, but if I get corporation with less, we're going to have them here. To bring the opportunity to families that are struggling, I have pushed for sports capital instead of crime capital, instead of year after year. Here, we have to get families who are comfortable staying. Immigration, fast-track immigration for families who want to buy a home or invest more than $500,000 here. That is what we need to do.
Thanks for that comprehensive answer. What are your strategies to attract business investment to Winnipeg, and what sectors do you believe should be focused on?
As an environmentalist who have successfully championed the banning of plastic bags and the introduction of reusable bags for everyday use, I feel that we could develop a very vibrant sector that looks at different approaches to solving this issue, such as potato starch, for example. We're potato farmers here. Okay, so why not use what we got for packaging, for replacing plastic bags? And that sector is untapped in Manitoba. Once I become mayor, I guarantee you this, that I'll be, this is something that I'm going to bring to the forefront. We have Centerport right here in the center of Canada, and we have hydro sector, which is built on renewable energy combined with inexpensive land and inexpensive labor. Three things that is a winning success no matter how you take it. I believe that we could be a world leader in supplying the opportunity for corporations to set up shop here. And what is missing is Don Woodstock as mayor. In my vision for Winnipeg, I see a recycling plant like none other. One of the kind in the world. Garbage, recycling, compost in one end and finished product out the next end. This will create a very vibrant industry and would create 1,000 jobs or more right here.
What steps will you take to address the issue of Manitoba being one of the provinces with a chronic shortage of residential dwelling units?
On August 17th, I had a policy announcement, 600 plus thousand vacant homes in the inner core will be fast-tracked for new homes for families. This would undoubtedly bring safety back into the inner core and make it livable, sustainable city. When the core is healthy, the city is healthy. We cannot have a healthy city without a healthy core. A special incentive program to financially aid responsible homeowner and renovating in the core. 7 different design ready rubber stamp architectural drawing plans at no cost will be made available to folks who can't. Because some of these folks, Peter, they can't afford it. That's why the homes are left the way it is. And they throw their hand in the air because the city is after them rather than working with them. Leadership with vision is what the city is missing today. And that's why, for me, it's something that I'm going to be doing.
How will you build and lead a team at City Council to ensure we receive funding to support growth-enabling infrastructure?
This is something that I have watched over the years, and governments come and government go. But they have never really found the magic formula. And I think what's missing is the vision. I am comfortable with this approach and leadership. Our vision that we roll out for this campaign, we'll see, is I'm already seeing success for what we say as a campaign that I'd like to do as mayor of the city. The provincial government announced $100 million just recently into sports and recreational facility. I was the guy who said, last election, we need to put more money where? Into sports, instead of having the kids run rampant in a city, community centers. My vision will realize just this morning, again, there's another announcement where the Sinclair Park Community Center and the federal and provincial government put money into a new basketball program. There is no way around it. No matter how you slice it, you keep the kids engaged, you keep them out of trouble. Keep them out of trouble, you spend less on all of the other resources we're running around with, and we are able to manage our resources better. Keep the kids engaged, keep them out of gang.
What benchmarks and actions will you take to move key projects ahead faster to sustain delivery of core civic services?
So what's missing here is the ability to have governments elected who want to serve the people and who want to keep and hold people accountable. Peter, what is that? You know, what I see is in Ottawa, for example, if a contractor builds and gets a project going from the government, and if they're late, guess who paid, Peter? The contractor pays. In Winnipeg, when the contractor is late, you know what they do? They issue change order. They issue all kind of fumble-dumble things, okay? Now imagine you're building a house, okay? And you said you're going to be building the house, and the contractor wants $1 million to build the house. And when before he's done, he tells you he wants $600,000. Would you just sign him a check and give it to him just because? Our government that we know, civic government that we now have, says they're paying these change orders because there was no policy in place. I will put a policy in place that says you want change order, you're taking it from your own pocket. You want to take 5 years to build something that should have been 1 year? Guess who's paying? You are. And if you can't finish it, instead of me paying you, because I'm not going to pay you up front. And a lot of these people are getting payment up front. That is why they have no recourse. They have no accountability. And so that's what I would bring to the table. Holding people accountable. Because at the end of the day, is having that vision. The provincial government and federal government are reluctant to get into projects or anything where there's no clear vision. So as a result of that, we saw where the provincial government, with the water sewage plan, send back the plans to the city of Winnipeg 2-3 years after construction, saying go back to the drawing board. How did they get that passed in the first place? All kind of chicanery and all kind of, you know, underhand things. As mayor, we will have new contract for the contractors and subcontractors. We will no longer give you a blank check, okay, so you can just do whatever you want. And you will be held accountable for your performance. And if you're late, it's coming out of your own pocket. Cost overruns, forget it. We have seen enough of that already. We approve a price, we deliver, and the project and the period and the budget will be presented. And if not met, contractor pays, not the people of Winnipeg. A new vision going forward, not the same old. This is what is needed, and this is what I will do.
So what you're really getting at here is you want to establish certainly much more clarity for the sake of taxpayers and partners like the provincial and federal government when the city is embarking on these major projects.
Absolutely, because at the end of the day, if they don't see that you are dotting your I's and crossing your T's properly, that's why they're not jumping in. Because there's no reason why they wouldn't, because it benefits them. They look good as well, and they're saving taxpayers if they have more accountability. And that's why this project logs, because the government is aware that instead of you have 5 or 10 people getting paid, they know there's 50 people getting paid. And some of these people have corporations that's getting paid out of it. Named corporations are getting paid out of it. So, of course, the government is hesitant, and anybody would be. So that's why we don't see a lot of it. But that will change, because when you lay it on the line, you let everything open and it's transparent, then there's no reason why you wouldn't have a working relationship with the federal and provincial government. So whenever you see that humbug, and whenever you see that discord, take it from me, and here it is on the ground, is because there's something is not right. The math don't add up, the numbers don't make sense, the accounting isn't done properly. So the government, federal and provincial government, is saying, wait a minute.
Well, thanks again for covering that key area that you're focusing on for this civic election, Don. And I really appreciate you coming in and speaking to me on this podcast. And I wish you all the best in your campaign to become mayor of the city.
Thank you. And I will be mayor of the city.
Thank you for participating and sharing your vision on issues important to the Winnipeg Regional Real Estate Board, its members, stakeholders, and all Winnipeggers. To our valued listeners, please tune in for more episodes of The Voice, where we invite mayoral candidates to share their vision for Winnipeg.